Today's shiur is Daf Pei Beis, and we will begin on the third line. Amlei Rav Huna l'Rabba Berei. Rav Huna said to his son Rabba, "My tam lo shchichas ma kamed Rav Chisda. Why don't you go to hear the shiur of Chisda? The mechadin din shmatze. His teachings are very sharp, so it's a worthwhile shiur to listen to." Amlei, so Rabba said to him, "My ezel gabei, why should I go to him? Tichi ezel nel gabei, when I do go to learn by him, mostly b'milah d'alma. He sits me down and talks to me about mundane matters, not about Torah. Omeli, so I'll give you an example," he tells me. He said, "Man da'ay le'besekisei, somebody goes to the bathroom, le'lesev behedja, he should not sit down forcefully, v'loy litrach tfei, nor should he overly strain himself to relieve himself. The haika keshta for the rectum atlas shine yosef is supported by three teeth. The muscle on which the rectum lays looks like three teeth. And if somebody will overly exert himself in trying to use the bathroom, dilma mishtamta shine kakashta, the teeth of the rectum may become dislocated, and it could come into danger." Amalei, so Rav Huna said to his son, "Hu asuk b'chai d'briyosai. Rav Chisda is teaching you things that impact your very life. V'at amrit b'mila d'alma, and you're calling that mundane matters? Koshken zilgabei. You certainly should go to him, because these are very important lessons to learn." Yesterday we had discussed what materials are better and may be used, are appropriate to be used for cleaning yourself when going to the bathroom, and which not. Says the Gemara, "Hoy lefon of tzror v'cheres. Somebody had in front of him a stone and a pottery shard." So, as Rashi explains, we're speaking on Shabbos, and each one of these items has an advantage and a disadvantage. The tzror, which is a stone, has the advantage that it's a good item to use for cleaning. But the disadvantage is that it's muksa. A cheres, on the other hand, has the advantage that it's not muksa. It's a piece of pottery, which is not muksa. But on the other hand, a disadvantage, as we learned yesterday, it's dangerous. It could cut the teeth of the rectum. Rav Huna Amar says, "Mekanech b'tzurav enem mekanech b'cheres." It's better to use the stone, which is muksa, not the cheres. Rav Chisda Amar, "Mekanech b'cheres." Use the pottery and avoid the problem of muksa. Ve'em mekanech b'tzurav, don't use the stone. Meisvei asked the Gemara a question from a braisa. It says in a braisa, "Hoy lefon of tzurav b'cheres." If somebody has in front of him a stone and a piece of pottery, "Mekanech b'cheres." Then the kanech b'tzror, he should use the cheres and not the tzror to yufta the Rav Huna. And this clearly is refutation of Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said that you should use the tzror. Answers the Gemara, "Targum Rafim Bapapa kamed Rav Chisda liv Rav Huna." Rafim Bapapa answered what Rav Huna meant. He's talking b'odne kalim. When the Braisa says that a piece of pottery is preferable to a stone, it's talking to the broken off rim of a utensil. Since they are smooth and they pose no danger in use, also the Rishonim, the Ritva says there's also no problem on kshofim. On these type of pottery, even though we learned yesterday that there is a problem of kshofim, on these type of pottery there is no problem of kshofim. That's why everybody will agree that in such a situation cheres is preferable. But it could be where you don't have this special type of cheres, tzror, a stone, will be preferable. Continues the Gemara, another situation. Hoy lefon of tzror v'asovim. If somebody had in front of him stone and grass. So Rashi has two pshatim. First pshat, Rashi says it's talking about during the week. And he asks, each one of these items, again, has advantage and a disadvantage. Tzror is not that great, and a sovim is grass, and they could cut the basar. Rashi quotes his Rabbi Nisenu. He says that we're talking on Shabbos. And Shabbos, and we're going to learn the Gemara that way, has, on Shabbos, there's a disadvantage to each one of these items. Tzror is muksa, and asav magres, and there's a concern of Tlisha, that you may pull out the gris. So we have machlokes of Chizda v'Rav Hamnuna. Chanama mekaneach b'tzror, veina mekaneach b'asavim, use the stone instead and not the grass. It's better to use the grass and not the stone, says the Gemara. Meisvei, ask the Gemara a question. If somebody cleans himself with a material that is flammable, the teeth, the muscle that we discussed before, and the muscle of the rectum will fall out. So how could you tell me to use grass? And the Gemara loy kasha. Ha belachim. The situation where I'm allowed to use grass speaks of moist grass, which is obviously not flammable. Ha biyaveshim. The brice that says you're not allowed to use a flammable material is referring to dry grass, which is flammable. So the first shaila is, how do we nowadays use grass? A tissue to clean ourselves in the bathroom, it's a flammable material. And we just finished explaining that you should not use a flammable material. So I saw three answers. One answer is that the entire concern is only in a bathroom that's outside. However, as our bathrooms are indoors, the problem of using a flammable material doesn't apply. The other pshat I saw is, the reason you're not allowed to use a flammable material is because of kshofim, that we're concerned that it'll affect you kshofim. Nowadays, kshofim are not that prevalent and don't really apply to us, and therefore you're allowed to use a flammable material. The Torah, interestingly enough, says that the pasuk says in Tehillim, Shomer P'soim Hashem, Hashem protects the foolish, which means like this, that even though maybe we shouldn't do something, but once it becomes common for us to do something, then Hashem protects us, even though maybe we shouldn't have done it. So says the Torah, since it has become our custom to use such material when cleaning ourselves in the bathroom, maybe we shouldn't have started it, but now Hashem protects us. The other question is, that the Rishonim ask, that if they're talking about Shabbos, as Rashi's pshat that we learned the Gemara with from his Rabbi Yisainu, so now the question is, how could you use asavim, something that's attached to the ground? We know that halacha is, eim mishtamshim b'mechub al-karka, that in Shabbos we're not allowed to make use of anything connected to the ground. Grass is connected to the ground, so how can we use it on Shabbos to clean ourselves? So they say the two terutzim given in the Paiskim. One terutz is that the only iser of mishtamish b'mechubar is something which is hard, but grass which is soft, there is no iser of mishtamish b'mechubar. Another answer is the iser of mishtamish b'mechubar only applies to something which is within three tefachim of the ground. But this, above three tefachim of the ground. But here, since the grass is below three tefachim from the ground, there is no problem of mishtamish b'mechubar. Continues the Gemara. Hanitzrich lifnois v'ena nifna. If somebody needs to go to the bathroom but doesn't, Rav Chisda Ravina disagree, what will be the consequences? Chanam ruach rosh shalatas ba. One says he'll have bad breath, but chanam ruach zuhoma shalatas ba. And the other one says he'll have a lot of perspiration. Tanya command amar ruach zuhoma shalatas ba. So the Gemara says a brice that says, like the mandama that says that he'll have excessive perspiration. The tag hanitzuch l'ner kovav v'oichel. If somebody needs to go to the bathroom and eats, it's like a furnace that was heated with its old ashes, which obviously do not serve as a good source of fuel. And this is the beginning of extraordinary perspiration and its foul odor. And the Miri Taka says here, La'olam yagdish adam atzmai b'nekiyas kol kamash efshalai. A person should be careful to sanctify himself with cleanliness as much as possible. Vel yishas nekover b'shum tzad. He should not hold himself back from going to the bathroom. Shekola oisakein, whoever does this, ruach ra, bad breath, v'ruach za'ama, and bad odor, perspiration, shayron alav, will affect him. Even if a person finds himself that he has a problem with constipation, he can't use the bathroom as much as he would need to. He should do as much as he can to use the bathroom. Certainly when he goes to eat, as we're going to learn, somebody has to go to the bathroom and eat. And the Mefarshim also say, what's the difference if it's bad breath or it's extra perspiration when we're talking here about the bad effects? The Mefarshim says that if a doctor is approached by a person who has one of these diseases, foul breath or extra perspiration, he could possibly say and think that the fact that the person doesn't go to the bathroom as he should be is the cause. A person has to go to the bathroom, but he can't. Rav Chizah says, what is the Eitzah? Yam v'yeshiv, he should stand up and sit down. He should go to the sides. He should keep on trying. If he tries in one spot and it doesn't work, he should try somewhere else. He should take a piece of stone and try to open up the rectum, what we discussed yesterday. Rabban Amar, you see that he should remove his mind from it. Omer Ravashi, Koshken the Kimasach Dati Lo Mafni. If he's not going to think about it, he doesn't try to do it, he certainly won't be able to go to the bathroom. Omer Yisayich Dati Medvar Macherim. What I meant was, he should not think about anything else. He should totally concentrate on using the bathroom, and hopefully it'll help. Omer Rav Yirmidifti. L'di Chazali Hahutaya, I saw this Arab merchant, the Kamvi Yosef, he stood up and said, Ad the Shafra Katera, until he was able to relieve himself like you pour out something from a pot. It just came out very easy. Tana Rabbanan, Hanichnas L'sudas Kvah, somebody's going to eat a meal. And as Rashi explains, it is inappropriate to go to the bathroom during a meal, and this person is going to sit down for a meal and he knows the meal is going to take a long time, so what should he do in order to get himself to be able to use the bathroom before the meal, so he shouldn't have to use it during the meal? Yahalach esapamim arba amis. He should walk 10 times 4 amis. That'll help him be able to relieve himself. Family, others say arba pamim esa amis, 4 times 10 amis. V'nifna, then he'll be able to relieve himself. V'nifna v'yesh mekayim, then he could sit down to eat the meal. The Mishnah continues discussing different items and the shurim for carrying them out on Shabbos. Cheres, taking out earthenware, kedei litein bein patzim l'chaveroi. If he takes it enough to put between one slat and another. If somebody's piling up beams of wood and they're not all even, he could take some pottery to even them out. The Rambam says that they would use cheres if they had 2 half bricks that they wanted to combine. They would put a piece of cheres in between to be able to turn it into a whole brick. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Enough to pick up fire, enough to pick up a coal. Enough to hold a revius of liquid. Even though there's no proof to this, that the shear is the amount that they need to pick up a coal, there's some sort of an allusion from a pasuk. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, you will not find amongst its pieces cheres, a piece of pottery, lechatus eish, to pick up fire, miyokot, from the furnace. What Yeshaya is telling Klal Yisrael, since they did not trust Hashem, rather they seeked aid from the king of Egypt, he says that the wall of protection that they seek will fall and shatter, What will it shatter to? It'll shatter into pieces of pottery that cannot even pick up a coal. So you see, the pottery has picked up a coal. Omle Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said to him, Misham Raya, you want to use that pasuk as a mekar? Look what it says at the end of the pasuk. Uv lach soif maya megava, or to scoop water from a hole. So we see that the shard is used to scoop off water. Begins the Gemara. Mistabra, upon analysis, it seems that shiur the Rabbi Yosef nafish, that the shiur of Rabbi Yosef of carrying water is a bigger shiur than the shiur of Ramei of carrying a coal. Because to carry a coal, a small coal, it takes up very little room. A revius water takes up more room. However, after Mikra, after we just learned the pasuk that we just quoted in Yeshaya, it seems that shiura Ramei mafish, that the shiur of Ramei of picking up a coal is bigger. Why? If you tell me Rabbi Yosef is talking about a bigger measure, then larger measure, then Rabbi Meir, so I don't understand the pasuk, says the Gemara. What's the pasuk doing? The pasuk is cursing Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk is saying that you won't have a piece of pottery that could hold a coal. And then the pasuk says, and even to hold water. So if you're saying that holding water is a smaller shear, so I understand the progression of the pasuk. The pasuk says it won't hold coal, and it even won't hold water. But if you say the water is bigger, so what's shot in the pasuk? First you curse him that it won't hold coal, and then you say it won't hold water. Water is less. Water is bigger. So says the Gemara, Amar Baya, Masnis Nami Lachas Eish Mekida Gedoyla. When we talk about a coal, it doesn't mean a small piece of coal. It means large enough to pick up a piece of coal from a large bonfire, which is a bigger piece of coal. But it's not such a small piece of coal. So in other words, the shear of a revius, to hold a revius of liquid, is a smaller shear than the shear of holding coal. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Yomer. So after Rameya quoted the pasuk, Rabbi Yosi said, Misham Raya, you want to bring a proof from that pasuk? That pasuk isn't the proof, because that pasuk tells us that water is the shear. Says the Gemara, Shapa Kamalei Rabbi Yosi Rameya. Rabbi Yosi is correct in what he's saying to Rameya. How will Rameya answer? Rameya says the Gemara, Lo mi ba'yu kamar. Lo mi be'a midi de choshev l'inish to learn Shtabachlei. It's not enough that they will not find anything that is considered significant by people. Ela filu mida de loy chashiv linish, even something which is not significant, they won't find. So Pshat in the Gemara's answer is like this. When we've been speaking, and it's a good way to end the parak with a review of what we've been learning in this parak. When we speak in this parak about an item's shear, it's not just that something has a shear that you could use it. It has to be somewhat significant. Says Ramei to Rabbi Yosi, yes, you could find a piece of cheres that's so small that it could be used to carry water. But that's an insignificant use. An insignificant use does not establish the shear for Hoytzah B'Shabbos. It has to be some sort of a significant use. What is a significant use for a piece of cheres? Carrying out a coal from a large bonfire. But yes, it could be used for water, and that's what the pasuk is referring to. It's interesting that the Klaus Megareba in the Shailos Tshuvos Divrei Yatziv explains that the Machlokes Ramei and Rabbi Yosi is as follows. Ramei, everybody agrees that carrying out a revius water on a cheres is an insignificant use. Yet, Rabbi Yosi still holds that that's the shear, because Rabbi Yosi holds that in all of Hilchos Shabbos, in terms of carrying that we've been discussing this parak, the shear is always a revius. So here too, the shear is a revius. Ramea says that by food, the shear is a groigris, no matter what. However, when it comes to liquid, it doesn't necessarily have to be a revius. We're not locked into a revius, and if it could be, we look at the significant use, and if carrying a revius is not a significant use, it's not considered carrying. Hanu l'chamoitz yayin, hanu l'chamoitz yayin, hanu l'chamoitz yayin. Begins the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah discusses the issue of tumah on avodah zara. Menayim avodah zara shematamba b'masa kanida. Where we know that an avodah zara, an idol, contaminates somebody who carries it, just like a nida will contaminate somebody who carries her. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, tizreim k'maydava. You will cast away the avodah zara like a nida. Say time alive. You will tell the avodah zara go out. So since the pasuk compares avodah zara to a nida, man nida metam b'masa, just like a nida, we know is metam, and we'll talk about it, metam with carrying, af avodah zara, so to avodah zara, metam b'masa, it contaminates somebody who carries it. So Rashi asks, how does this inyan, the subject of the tumah avodah zara, get into here, Masechta Shabbos? So Rashi says that in this perek we're going to have mishnayos that begin with the word menayin. There's a mishnah that starts menayin shemachitzin and samila. How do you know that you're allowed to wash somebody who had a bris is allowed to wash the area, wash the baby on Shabbos, which is relevant to Hilchos Shabbos? So we have other mishnayos that also speak about menayin. Tosfos is troubled with that pshat, because Tosfos says if that's the reason, so the perek should begin with the halacha menayin shemachitzin samila, which is the relevant halacha to Hilchos Shabbos. And after speaking about that halacha, you can mention the other halachas that also have the menayin. Why do you speak about this one first? So Tosfos therefore says that since we just learned in the previous perek the halacha of the shear of Hotzah, the shear of carrying by Cheres, we learned from a pasuk in Yeshaya, this pasuk that we're speaking about in Avodah Zorah also is a pasuk nearby in Yeshaya, so that's why the Gemara put these two in Yonim next to each other. There's a vart from the Shla and from the Gra. The pasuk tells us that when Yaakov and his family were leaving the home of Lavan, Rachel took the idols of her father Lavan. Then Lavan went from home to home, tent to tent, of Yaakov's family, looking for those idols. And when he came to Rachel's tent, he asked, "Do you have it?" She told him, "I can't get up because kiderech nashimli, I'm having a period." So the Shla, the Gra, asked, "How could Rachel say something which wasn't true? She was sitting on the idols. That's what happened." So they say, based on this Gemara, it's fine, because since we just said that the tumah of avodah zara is similar to the tumah of a nida, so that when she said derech nashimli, I have my period, I'm a nida, she meant I have the avodah zara, which is tumay like a nida. Begins the Gemara. Tanan hasam. We learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Avodah Zara. Misha yibesu samach avodah zara. If somebody's house is enjoined to building which is avodah zara. So there's a machlokes rishonim when we say beis avodah zara, what does that mean? Does it mean that they actually worship the house, or does it mean that it's a house in which there is an avodah zara? So what happened here, the way to learn the Gemara is that somebody built a house with four walls, and then somebody else, an avodah zara, built an adjoining house but didn't build the fourth wall. He relied on his house for the fourth wall, an attached house, and the other three houses he built. So now he finds himself in a situation that one of the walls of his house serves as also as a wall for avodah zara. And now the nafal, the common wall, falls down. So the halacha is osel of nisoy. It's also to rebuild that wall, because that would be benefiting the idol. Ketz jasa. What should he do? Kindness l'tav shloi arba amis. He should bring the new wall for amis into his own property, obayna, and rebuild it there. And why for amis? Because the Rishonim will explain that what we find throughout halacha, that Dalet Amis is considered a separate area. So by separating his new wall for Amis from the Avodah Zarah, it's considered that he separated himself from the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Tosfos alludes to it, says that in those four Amis that he now leaves as an open area between his home and the Avodah Zarah, he should be careful not to leave it empty, because that would, all you're doing is just make a nice garden for, a yard for the Avodah Zarah. He should just designate the area as a place to use as a bathroom, or plant it with thorns and thistles, or as a garbage dump. Continues the Gemara, quoting the Mishnah Meshechta Avodah Zarah. Hoyse shaloi vel Avodah Zarah. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is like this. A person built an attached house with a non-Jew. When the house was built, it was just built as homes of dwelling, the Jew's dwelling and the non-Jew's dwelling. After that, the non-Jew went and designated that house as a base of Avodah Zarah. So now there's a common wall owned by both of them, which is being used for Avodah Zarah. And now that wall falls. So the halacha is nida mechza mechza. We look at the area and as the wall as half and half. So now, how do we look at the four amos that this Jew has to move in? Two amos of the area where the wall took up. The wall took up four amos, let's say. Two amos of that area belong to him. And then he has to go two more amos into his own property. So he should have a separation of four amos from the wall, from the wall of Avodah Zarah to his home. Continues the Mishnah. Avonah ve'etzah ve'afarav. The wall stones, the wood, the mortar, metam kesheretz, a metam lekesheretz, which is one of the tumas in the Torah. But what's relevant, most relevant to our sugi, is that tumas sheretz is only tuma of magav, touching it. Carrying a tuma of sheretz, unlike nida, does not cause tuma. Shenemar, how do we know that Avodah Zarah is metam kesheretz? Because the pasuk says shaketz tishaktsena. Shakas means abomination, and we know that Avodah Zarah, we know that Sheretz is called abomination, so that's why we say that the Tumah of Avodah Zarah is similar to the Tumah of Sheretz. Rabbi Kiva Aymer, Rabbi Kiva says Kenida. The Tumah of a Sheretz is like the Tumah of Avodah Zarah is like a Nida. Quoting the pasuk that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Shenam Tizrin K'maydava, you should cast away the Avodah Zarah like a Nida. And therefore we'll say, Ma nida metam v'masa, just like a nida is metam of somebody who carries it, af avodah zarah metam v'masa, so to avodah zarah is metam of somebody who carries it. So if you'll carry one of these remnants of the avodah zarah, you also will be tamei. The Rishonim ask that we have a concept throughout Shas of yesh brera and brera. Can we determine something retroactively? And we say that by a deraisa, we don't say brayer, we don't determine things retroactively. By the Rabbanon, we do determine things retroactively. So here, when the wall fell down, and the Jew and the non-Jew are going to divide up the wall, why don't I say that retroactively, it's determined that the pieces that the Jew got are not Avodah Zarah, and the pieces that the Goy got are Avodah Zarah. Because we're dealing with a Rabbanon. And a Rabbanon, we should say yesh brayer, that we can determine things retroactively. So Rishonim say, since we're dealing with Avodah Zarah, which is very severe, which is a very severe Isser, even by Drabonon, we're Machmer and don't say Breira. Omer Rava, Tizrem Damakra, the passage that says throw him away, means, Nechrinim and Chakizar, you should estrange the idol from yourself like you would a stranger. Say Taimelai, go out. Kikanes al Taimelai, don't let him come in. And the Mefarshim will ask, if you tell it to go out, you certainly aren't telling it to come in. So what's the pasuk? Mean what's Pshat in the Gemara telling us? Don't let it in. If I'm throwing it out, I'm certainly not going to let it in. So the Pri Chadosh and the Ravid quote something from the Sefer HaMaktzois. Sefer HaMaktzois is a Rishon that the pasuk here that's comparing Avodah Zarah to Nida is also teaching us a halacha as far as Hilchas Nida. And the pasuk is telling us, say time aloy, hikanas al timer, that we should stay, that there's an inyan, there's a point to which we don't, doesn't apply to every one of us, should not get close to a Nida. Hikanas al timer, the person should not get close to a Nida, that there's a certain level of tumah on a Nida. And that's why there was a custom in certain communities in certain earlier times that women who were in nida were separated from their family. We, of course, don't do that. But it's interesting that some of the Paiskim say that this is the Makar, this is why we don't do Nesias Kapayim in Chutzlarts. Since we're not careful to separate ourselves from Nidos, whether it's our wives or other women or members of the family, we do go into the same house as a Nida. So we don't have that high level of Kedusha. And if we don't have that high level of Kedusha, it's not appropriate that we should say, that we should do Birkas Kahanim, which is a holy avoid at that time. Now Rava continues. Ve'amar Rava. B'masal kulam le'pligi de'matama. He says that everybody agrees that Avodah Zarah is matam b'mas when you're carrying it. Why? Da'iskish l'nida. Because we compare Avodah Zarah to nida, and the nida is matam b'mas when you're carrying, so too will Avodah Zarah. Ki pligi b'em m'sava. There's a special tuma by nida that called Evan Masama. Evan Masama means a placed rack, which teaches us, which has a number of examples. The simple example, a rack which is placed on supports does not weigh down upon that which lays beneath it. Still, if a Zav or a Nida rest upon such a rack, he will be matama, he will contaminate any utensils that lay below that rack. Provided that the sort of material that's meant to support the weight of a person. So even though he's not actually laying, in other words, if you'll have this rack on supports and you'll have a couch below that rack, that rack will also, that couch will also be matame. There are other examples that Rishonim give. It goes regarding the transmission of tumah by the couch or seat of a nida, that it's not necessary for tar to sit directly upon such a couch. Even when he's on the even when he's on the rack, he's tumah. It's also applied to carrying tumah. That means somebody that does not need actually to carry a zav to be rendered tameh, but even if he's beneath a placed rack upon which a zav rests, he's contaminated with carrying tumah. So neither zav have this chumrah of evim mesameh, and the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva Saba Kanida that a void zara also will be compared to a nida. A man nida b'tam b'evim mesameh, nida has this tumah of evim mesameh. Af a void zara b'tam b'evim mesameh, so too will a void zara. Rabbanan sabi k'sheretz. Rabbanan hold it's like sheretz. Ma sheretz lo b'tam b'evim mesameh. Just like by sheretz there is no din of evim mesameh. Af a void zara lo b'tam b'evim mesameh, so too there will not be din of evim mesameh void zara. And Tosfos right away points out that if we're dealing with a Tumah d'Rabbanan, why are we being machmer? How is Rabbi Kiva machmer and says that he's metamah be'evim mesameh, this very stringent type of Tumah? Don't we always go l'kula? And Tosfos says the same thing that we mentioned earlier. Since we're dealing here with Avodah Zarah, which we always consider very stringently, we'll be stringent here too. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva l'may hilchus iskus l'sheretz. So what's the point of the Torah comparing Avodah Zarah to Sheretz? L'mesham Sheha. It's regarding its service items. That they will only have the Tumah of a Sheretz. They will not have the Tumah like a Venida, which means they will not have the Tumah of Evan Mesama. Ask the Gemara on the other hand, or Rabbonon l'may hilchus iskus l'nida. Why did the Torah compare Avodah Zarah to Nida? L'masa. To teach us that just like Nida has a Tumas Masa, so too Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, so Likshe Rachmanel Nevela. Then the Torah could have compared it to Nevela. Because Nevela, which is the corpse of a dead animal, generates Tumah by carrying, but doesn't have Eva Masama. So it would have been a perfect comparison. Says the Gemara, Enochanam, you're right. Ella, why did the Torah compare Avodah Zarah to Nida? To teach us the following din. Man nida ena lavar. If a limb of a nida is severed, it will not be tam tumas nida. And all the mafarshim point out there may not be tumas nida, but it will be tumas mes, tumas evi menachai. But it won't have tumas nida, because a nida has this unique tumah that we're speaking about of masa, of carrying. So too af avodah zarah ena lavarim. If you disassemble avodah zarah, that disassembled area will not have the halacha of avodah zarah and will not be tameh. Ask the Gemara. V'alahad by Rav Chama Bagoria. Rav Chama Bagoria asked the shayla. Avodah zarah yeshna lavarim ena lavarim. Does the tumah of avodah zarah apply to its severed pieces or not? Tivshalamaha. We should have an answer from here, the Rabbanan, that according to Rabbanan at least, ena lavarim, that the tumah avodah zarah does not apply to its severed parts. Answers the Gemara, you're right. According to Rabbanan, there is no shayla. Rav Chama Bar Gurya, when Rav Chama Bar Gurya had a shayla, as a leave of the Rav Akiva boyle, his question was according to Rav Akiva, who does not use the comparison between avodah zarah and nida to teach us the halacha of an avodah zarah's parts. Rather, it comes to teach us the halacha of Evan Mesameh, and therefore he wants to know what will Rabbi Kiva hold regarding the severed limbs of an avodah zarah. But what the Rabbanon hold? We know. They hold that it doesn't apply. Rabbi Lezer has a different way of viewing the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva Rabbanon. Everybody will agree, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanon agree, that there is no Thomas Evan Mesameh by avodah zarah. Because we compare it to a sheretz, and just like by a sheretz there's no Evan Mesameh, so too by avodah zarah there's no Evan Mesameh. Ki plig b'masa. The question is there tumas masa by avodah zarah, tumah of carrying? Rabbi Kiva sava k'nida, Rabbi Kiva holds it's like a nida. A man nida matam b'masa, just like a nida has tumas masa, af avodah zarah matam b'masa. Rabbanan savri, no, we compare it to k'sheretz. Ma sheretz lo matam b'masa, just like sheretz doesn't have tumas masa, af avodah zarah lo matam b'masa, so to avodah zarah doesn't have tumas masa. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva l'may hilchus iskish l'sheretz. Then according to Rabbi Kiva, what's the purpose that the Torah compared avodah zarah to a sheretz? L'mashem sheha, to teach us that the service items of avodah zarah only have tumah sheretz. They do not have the higher level of tumah like a nida of tumas masa. Taisus and the Ritva all point out that the Gemara could have said a different answer. That the reason it's compared to sheretz is to teach us, according to Beleza's version of Rabbi Kiva, that even though it has tumas masa like a nida, tumah of carrying, it doesn't have tumas evi mesama. That's what I learned with its comparison to tumas sheretz. The Gemara gives this answer, they say, because it wants to parallel the answer that we had in the previous explanation of Rava that we spoke about Misham Sheha. Rabbanon asked the Gemara, "My hichs iskish l'nida." According to Rabbanon, why was avodah zarah compared to nida? The teacher's ma nida in a lavarim, just like tumas nida doesn't apply to the severed limbs of a nida. Af avodah zarah in a lavarim, tumas avodah zarah doesn't apply to the severed limbs of the avodah zarah. Asked the Gemara, "Rabbi Kiva l'may hichs iskish l'nida l'masa?" If we're saying, according to Rabbi Kiva, the reason the Torah compared avodah zarah to nida is to teach us that it has tumas masa, look shila nevela. Why don't we rather compare it to nevela, which also has tumas masa, and it's a better comparison, because now we're saying that Rabbi Kiva holds that avodah zarah does not have tumas evan mesama. So compare it to nevela, which also doesn't have tumas evan mesama, rather than comparing it to nida, will I have a problem of tumas evan mesama? Says Duma Enechanami, right. So Ella, why did the Torah compare nida to avodah zarah? To teach us that nida ena levarim, just like tumas nida doesn't apply to severed limbs, af avodah zarah ena levarim. Says the Gemara, El the Bayer of Chama Bar Gurya. So now we have Rav Chama Bar Gurya Shaila. That avodah zarah yesh na levarim or ena levarim. That the tumas avodah zarah apply to the severed limbs or not. Tishle mehos. So now we should have proof. Bein Rabbanan, Bein Rabbi Kiva, both according to Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Kiva, Dein Levarim, that tumas avodah zarah doesn't apply to Levarim, because according to this version, way Rabbi Elazar understands the machlokes Rabbi Kiva Rabbanon, even Rabbi Kiva will agree that Tumas Avodah Zarah Eina Lavaram doesn't apply to severed limbs. So what's Rav Chuma Bar Gurya Shaila? Says the Gemara, Rav Chuma Bar Gurya Kurav Masnalei. Rav Chuma Bar Gurya obviously understood the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanon like Rava understood it, and therefore he had a question, I'll leave it to Rabbi Kiva. That means the way Rava explains the machlokes, according to Rabbi Kiva, there is a legitimate question, what is going to be the halacha regarding the Avarim, regarding the severed parts of an Avodah Zarah.